Okay. So what we will talk today a few words about dog genius in general. Then a second point about what is the situation in education and what is very special concerning the development of free software in education. I will present you the future of dog genius, and I will take some time to present you some advanced features that maybe it's not very easy to get in. So I will take the opportunity of this speech to show you these two advanced features that are macro construction and guard script. As well, I will present you the big map, the world map we are leading on. Especially where we are now, and I finally, of course, I will present a list of where you can cooperate with us in documentation, user feedback, and development. And as well, I will talk about some other projects we are doing at Offset. So, what is dog genius? So, it's taken from the website. It's about interactive geometry. So what is interactive geometry? Interactive geometry is an example, it's a very fine example of what you can do with a computer and you can do without a computer. So this is really about enhancing the way you can teach geometry with a computer. It's not just using a computer to use a computer in education. It's to use a computer because this is a tool that brings other way of teaching something. This kind of enhancement to the teaching. So it gives you the opportunity to construct geometric figure as you will do in a sheet of paper. But also it gives you the chance to move the object and the figure. And what is interesting is that the property of the figure always stays true. So this you can do with the paper or the ball. You are stick with your figure and you can move anything. So this, as is developed at dog genius, it's for primary and secondary level, but also I'm sure we can find a way to use it in a university as well. And also, as you can pre as well, dog genius is part of the GNU project. This means it's a GNU software recorded in the GNU project of the Free Software Foundation. So a few words before what is the situation in school. The problem that we saw with the free software and education is that the user of the free software for education are teachers. But in the same time, teachers are not technician people. They are not involved in developing software. So there is a kind of frontier between what can do the teacher and what can do the developer. It's not mixed. There is very few teachers that are in the same time developers. If you compare with other domain in the free software community, for example, if you take the example of a tool to develop application, there is really a lot of software to develop application. This software are very well maintained, documented, and why like this? Because the user and the developer are very often the same people. The developers develop their own tool to develop more software. So there is a lot of software for that. But in the education area, it's not like that. There is teacher in one side and developer in the other side. So if the developer don't care about free software in education, there is no free software for education. It's kind of problem. So I don't know what workaround we can find for that. Maybe we need to motivate the developer, the free software community to get in. And this is what we try to do with Offset, actually, to develop free software. But we have not been very successful. We are not that much to do that. But at the very last end, we still need teacher to develop free software because they have the expertise to do that. The developer don't know really about what should be in free software for education. So yeah, as some people say all that, we need to get in the educators in the free software community and to teach them the value, or to tell them about the value we are defending. Because this value in the same time, this is also value that teachers have, that maybe they don't think about that with the software. So some area where teacher can help is to give good feedback about the software. This software is doing that, but maybe it's the wrong way to do the things. Also, they can help writing the documentation. And this is what we are trying to do. And with Dark Genius, I try to have some feedback from teacher. And each time a teacher contact me about Dark Genius, and he tell me something about the software, or we like to see these things, I reply to him, okay, I will try to do that. But in the same time, maybe would you like to help to write some part of the documentation, or maybe to write some cool example of what can be done with the software? Or so I try to catch them in the free software community through the things they can do. Okay. So now, what about Dark Genius? It's about construction figure, so we can construct any kind of geometric object we may need, so point line, but also any kind of planar transformation and numeric measure, macro construction, and script. But we will look at some example. It's maybe more easy to see what it's about. So here I started Dark Genius with various figure. So I will start with some very simple one, actually. So maybe you know about these things. I'm sure you, at least you learned that at school. I don't know, maybe you forgot about this rule. This is the example of dynamic geometry, actually, you can do. Because if you look at this point, they are key. When I move it, what I can just see is that this angle, actually, it doesn't change. It's only depend on the position of this point. So this is the main idea of dynamic geometry, you see? Or even if I grow the circle, okay, doesn't change. So it's a way to explore, to get in the figure interactively. Of course, it's not a way to prove the things, just to get the sensibility you can have with the figure. It's more easy to make some hypothesis on checking, is it true or not. Okay, just another simple example. Okay, it's, you know about that. So nothing special. So, we will just take an empty figure, a new one. And see, okay, the last one. And see, for example, we will draw something very simple with a quad, yes, I think in English we say a quad, right? Okay, so this quad is completely, yes, just nothing special about it, okay? So then we will ask, for example, with this tool, okay? You see the toolbar? Each tool is in its own place. For example, there, it's about everything related to point. Okay, so I can, from there I can place a free point on an object or on the background. For this tool I can construct the middle point of a segment or between two points. This tool is to construct intersection between two points. And this point is to place a point when you know its coordinates. This is related to line, So get a normal line, also vector, and circle, arc circle, locus. The locus, we will look at it. It's a very easy, the locus is another feature that you can get without the computer actually. And polygon. This one is about transformation, so you have parallel and perpendicular line, and the planar transformation, axial symmetry. Okay, so translation, rotation, scale. This is about numeric feature, distance, curve length, to place a free value. This is about angle, vector and point coordinate, equation, and script. We will look at it. This is about the macro construction, so I don't go in now. And this one, this is the tool to remove some item and to change the style or the property of the object. And this is just to move the object around the figure. Okay. So now I want to plug on the figure the middle of these four segments. So I ask for the middle. Okay. So of course, if I move the figure now, this middle will always be the middle. Okay. No, it's not. Okay. You see. Okay. I can change the style of this object. Okay. I will place a big square and give them a name. No, see, it will be there. Oh, I forgot to apply. Okay. Then I will draw the quad there inside. Then okay, we just so we have some feeling that this the quad ABCD is special actually. But is it special because my initial drawing was special, or is it special in any position of the initial quad? So in this case, with dynamic geometry software, it's very easy to check. Oh, it looks, it's always special. Whatever the position is of the initial quad. So to be sure, it looks like a parallelogram. To be sure, we can ask some for measure. So for example, we can start with the angle. What is the angle ABC? So this one, okay, is 65. Is it this one the same? So yes, it's the same. It's always, oh, yeah. Yeah, it looks like they're always the same. So again, it's not to prove something, but it's to get the feeling on that. So maybe after that, when we guess the right hypothesis, okay, we have to go to the proof. So then we stop to using the software. Okay, so I will show you now use some other example of figure. So this is, for example, this is scale. Okay, so we can see that the scale, just there is conservation of the different measure of the figure. This is the same thing. Okay, a bit differently, but. Okay. Okay, this one is special. This one is special because there is script inside the figure. So this is a triangle, not very special. We have the measure of the three angles and of the three segments. And there we have a computation. Because This three value actually is a property is always are always the same. So we can add with the Gaia script, we can make some computation of value on the figure. So actually we ask to calculate the sinus A over BC and the same thing for the two other value, and it looks like they are the same. Whatever the position of the triangle. So yes, it's true because it's a property. So we will look at the script later. Okay, this is another thing. This is about locus, actually. So this locus is used to draw the ellipses. Okay, see, it's always ellipses. So how is computed a locus? Actually, if you look at the figure, it means that... okay, I will change the style. Okay. So the locus with the scene, no, with the big, the larger line, is in fact the position of the E1 point when the B point there just described the segment. So actually this function, we ask to D'Artagnan, give me the various position of the E1 point when B describe the segment AC. So here we use it to draw the ellipses with two locus. And here we have another one to draw the hyperbola. So you see the same idea. And there for the prob. Okay. And there, and there is another example where we are using locus and script in the same time. In this figure, we have the cosine, curve on a delimited interval. And we have a point on this curve, and we ask to draw the tangent line over this curve at this point. When we move this point, actually the point M0 move, and the tangent line is recalculated when the M0 point move. We'll look at it deeply later. And then this one. This example was provided by a teacher. I mean, and maybe last week he sent me this figure. Okay, so this is an example with sinus and cosinus. Okay. Okay. So let's go to the next step. So. Well, there is some muffin. So what in D'Artagnan's part two? So the way D'Artagnan has been developed, we have been very careful to separate the drawable. What we call the drawable is the area where we draw the things. And we are using the GNOME widget and GTK. But this variable is separated from, it's a bit technical, but maybe you're used to that. The variable is separated from the graphic layer through an abstraction layer. And whose name is DocGeo variable. This is the area where we draw the things. So it's abstracted, and this gave us the chance to then to derive it as a GTK drawable. Actually, it is the area where we draw this, but also as a LaTeX drawable, which means that the same figure, we can ask to D'Artagnan, do not draw it on the screen, but draw it on a figure, on a file. Then we save the file, and we have a LaTeX file with the description of the figure. Then the same thing, we did that with the PostScript. don't draw it in the screen, but on a file, and use the PostScript instruction to get encapsulated PostScript. And the last part, the PostScript drawable was, this was some code that was given to me by a teacher, actually. Things is his name is Fabien Bonneau. I think he's one of the maintainers of the Leia website. I don't know if you know this website. It's a kind of Linux affair portal. So one of the guy there, he sent me some patch for that. We have also infinite undo redo operation on everything, except Mac reconstruction, because I did not implement it. And we have the session management to prepare pedagogical activities. Session management is what you just saw before. There, when I load DarkGenius, I ask him to load a special file where I have various figures I decide to pack together. And we can pack we can pack figure, macro construction, and text area to display information. And the idea is to give the opportunity to the teacher to prepare several documents and to save that document in one file. Then he can give the document to the student through the network, and they just need to load the document to start to work on the session. I will show you the export feature. For example, I will just export this figure as a PostScript. So I will save and there. Okay. Then I will load it with the Gauss view. So we have the same figure in PostScript. Of course, it's a vectorial, so whatever you scale it, the quality is always to the top. And actually, the way, also this is not documented, so maybe I will tell you it now. When you export the figure, DarkGenius really exports the same area. So you see there, the figure just, the E4 point is just over the bottom. So if we look at the figure exported, this is the same. You see, you exactly have the same area. So if you want to, when you export the figure, you just want some area, you have to adjust. So okay, let's say I want. Okay. I want that way, so I export again. No, okay. So we have the same now. On this kind of file, you can use it with OpenOffice, with the Lix, with the TechMax. When you use that file with the OpenOffice is not able to display the figure on the editor. But when you print it, you print it correctly. It's not able to run the PostScript document. Okay. So the advanced feature, the first one I want to show you is macro construction. So what is a macro construction? It's a set of construction the user wants to be recorded so he can use it later, or he can give the opportunity to other people to use it later. So to prepare a macro construction, you need to make the construction once. Then you explain to DarkGenius how to which part you want to record, actually. So for example, here is a situation. There is a lot of line, but it's not such a complex figure. Actually, we have the four center of the triangles. I don't know how to spell the name in English, so I can't tell you actually. But I guess you know. I hope you know. And we have the big web cycle, which is going through the 3-point ABC, and we have the same cycle but inside. And what we want to ask to Dark Genius is to record the construction that when we tell him about 3-point, we want him to compute the construction of the full circle, the line. This is the Euler line, okay? And the three center and the other one, which is the center of this circle. So, okay, there I have summed up the situation. So we want to get out the Euler line, the circles, there is two, the centers, there is four, and eventually the edge, so we don't have to draw it. So, all in all, we have three input parameters, which are the 3 points, and we have the output object to be constructed by Dark Genius. So in a macro construction, we have input parameters, and then we have the output parameters. It's like a procedure. It looks like something like that. So, okay, yes, let's see with an example. I don't think I wouldn't make the figure because it's a bit too long. So I think I have it in a file. Okay, so it's easy. It's already there. So I will ask to Dark Genius to record this construction. So I go to this tool. Then I ask to first construct the macro construction. So okay, tell me what I have to do. So first, select the input parameters. Next, okay, select the input parameters. Okay, I'll do it like that. So it will be my 3-point. Okay, they should appear there. Point B, point C. Okay, this is it. Then we tell him the result, what the result we want to be. So we want this circle. We want this other line. Also, we want the circle inside. We want the 3 point. The 4 point. Sorry. Okay. It's a bit a mess. So maybe I can scale a bit. This point. Yeah, and I want the edge. So. Okay, that's it. Okay, so this should be 10. 3, 4, 7, 8, 10. Okay, next, so we give a name. Okay, Euler line. And friends, okay, that's it. Okay. This expect, actually there we will, there we can write which input parameters are expected, because this text will be displayed when we will use the macro construction. So if we want to use that with students, it's good to say what's about. So, yeah. Next, okay, now we ask to finish. And of course, in some situation, Dark Genius will not be able to guess the construction if you don't select the good input parameters. Maybe if I only select the point A and B, of course, Dark Genius will not be able to produce the result, the circle, the line, because the C point is missing. Okay, so it's good. So we take a new figure, okay, now, and okay, we ask for 3 points. Then now we will play the macro construction. Okay, to play macro construction first, okay. So there is only one macro construction. When you have several ones, there is the title appear there, then the description there. So no, oh, he closed the finger. Okay, so you have to start again. Okay, never mind. I have saved the macro construction already. So, okay. So this is the same macro construction I saved on the file before. Yeah, the Doc Genius was closed because the presentation software, I click on the background, so it go to the next page and it closed the Doc Genius because Doc Genius is run at this page. And when I leave the page, it closed it and it so it did that to me. It's not a bug on Doc Genius. Okay, so take. Okay, so I have the construction. Oh no, again. Okay, so you get the picture anyway. Okay, so I have to change the page because so when you define a macro construction, you can save it through a session. This is the only way to save a document. So maybe I will show you what is session. Okay. If, for example, okay, I just create three empty figures, okay? I will open... What? Are always? On the line? Hey, no, not to demonstrate. It's not about demonstration. It's not about that. You can see that. So, okay, I load again the macro construction. So it's there. Okay. So to save a session is there. You have two ways to save the documents. You just save a single file, a figure, or you can save multiple documents. I call that session. And when you ask to save multiple documents, it will give you the list of the documents actually in memory in Doc Genius. So we have the three figure, 2D interactive figure, then we have the macro construction, all on cycle. So you can decide, okay, I will save that, okay. Then save selection. And you will save all that thing in one file, then when you open that file, it will open these three things. But it's only one file, okay? So it's very convenient to move it somewhere or to share it. And if you only want to save one macro construction, you have to do that way, okay? Self-selection. This is the only way to save a macro construction. You have to go through the save multiple menu. Okay. Some more. Do you want some more about macro construction, or do we go to the next step? I don't know. Well, the okay, it's loading. For the document to save the document is all the documents are saved on XML file. So actually, this is the earlier macro construction, and. So we have, for example, we can see there, we have the input parameters. We see three kernel. I call that kernel. This is simple geometric object. Category number two, which means 3 point. And then we have the resulting construction. Because, of course, to build a macro construction, to get the result, Doc Genius has to compute all the other objects inside, the various line, the intersection point, and this is recorded but not displayed when we ask to run the macro construction. Okay. So now we go to the next feature, which is the, so the, I call that the D, DGS, right? Which means Dark Genius Guile script. So Guile is the GNU Guile. This is the scheme language. And Guile is an interpreter developed by the Free Software Foundation. And Guile can be embedded in other applications. So the idea is that you have your application, and in your application you can have another language to do whatever you want to do. So I decided to use it to get some, the idea is you have some script on the figure, which means is small program that the user can write, and this script expects some input parameters as a procedure, and it computes a value or a string that is displayed on the figure, which in turn can be used by other things on the figure. So the input parameters are references to other geometric objects on the current figure. So when you create a new DGS, the user has to tell which object I want to have as input parameters. Then the script has to make some computation, and the last value of the script will be the returned value on the figure. So let's see an example. So I'm loading again the session. So we will start with a simple example. Okay, this one. So this is the example we saw just before. So we have the triangle. It's okay. It's not so complicated. To help us, I will open the sidebar with Dark Genius. You have a sidebar which describes the figure history. So actually, this is what happened. We have there is a chronological order also. So we first draw the point ABC, then the segment defined by extremity AB. So if you open that, you get the child, the parents, it's the opposite. The parents of this segment are the point A and B. Okay, so I just close it, we don't need to know. So of course, something very obvious, the object you get there, they have to be above, yeah? They have to be above this, because it's no sense if, as its construction is constructed with a chronological order, the point A and B have to be defined before the segment itself. So then we ask for the length of AB. Okay, BC. Okay, BC. Then the three angle. Okay. Then the script. Okay, so we will look at the script, the three script. Okay. So first, let's open the. Let's see what are the parents of this script. The parents are the object BAC. So this is the angle, and the segment BC. Okay. And now, okay. So this means that this script receives as input parameters this angle and this length. Okay. So now we'll look into the script to understand what is happening. So to edit the script, it's about editing the property of the script. So we go there, and we don't choose this one. This is about the style, how it's looking like on the figure, but the property is there. It's about the attributes. Then, okay, we want to look at this one. Okay. You see, the script is very short, actually. So this is Kim, okay? So this means that this is not algebraic notation. Huh? So there is a few things to know, is that the input parameters are placed in local variable whose name are A1 for the first input parameters, and A2 for the second input parameters, and A3, A4, etc. So here we have only two input parameters, And the first one is the angle BAC. So this means that A1 there, it's mean a reference to the object, to the angle BAC. And for each object, we have a kind of APE, API, which go inside the geometric engine. And for each object, we can get some information. So I could, yes. Guile on Lisp? Well, very few. Scheme is there, is a kind of Lisp. So if you know Lisp, it's okay. I think there is a tiny difference, but actually I don't know really well about Scheme or Lisp, I have to tell you. I choose Guile because I know it's very well maintained. It's developed by the Free Software Foundation, so I'm sure that maybe in 10 years it will still be there. So I don't have to worry about that. So I really choose because of that, and because it's a Scheme, I know there is some other possibility that with Scheme, but I will talk about that later. So there what we are doing with the getValue function. GetValue function is something that is in the API and is documented in the .genius manual. And it just get the value of the angle BAC. So the getValue function works with any kind, with anything that is a value on the figure. Okay? So of course, if the input parameters was this segment, it will make no sense to ask getValue because it's not a numeric thing. But with the angle, we just get the value of the angle in radians. So define A, it means, okay, get the value of the angle BAC and place this value in the local variable A like angle. Then the second line, we get the value of the segment length BC, and we place it on the L local variable. Then at the last line, we made the computation, which is the sine of the angle divided by L. This is sine A over BC. And this last value is displayed on the figure, is what we saw there. Okay? Okay. And this is the same thing for the other. So exactly the same. Actually, the script are exactly the same. Just the input parameters are different.
Are they the same or several instances of different objects?
What?
Are they really the same?
No, they are not the same in the memory. What do you mean? In memory, they are... Yeah.
Can you do it?
To share the same...
Same procedure or same...
No. No.
You can define a scheme function globally for...
No, not yet. This is kind of an enhancement that should be done. Yeah. The script is something very new, actually. Not very new, but it's become stable and usable since not such a long time. Okay, we'll look at another example, more complex. Actually, the curve with the this one. So we look first at the history of the figure. So we have first 2 points. The point they are, we don't saw this point in the figure. They are just the extremity of the segment we saw above on the bottom of the figure. Then we define this segment. Then a 3 points on the curve. Okay. Then we define. So this point will be used to set the position of the M0 point. So we have to make some scale actually. So this is what is done in this script. X0, we compute the abscess for the M0 point. So okay. X0 is there. So this is another example. So it's a bit different. So A1 there is the point move me, so it's not a value, okay? So we can ask get value, it's no sense. But we have, as it's a point object, so we can, it's a point object on a line, so we can ask to his coordinate on the line. So get abscissa A1, or we set this value in x. So for every point on a line, the abscissa is from 0 to 1. Even if the line is a circle or a full line, it's always 0 to 1. So we want to change this 0, 1 interval to something bigger. This is what is done in the last line. This produces a value between minus 10 to 10. So this means when I move m, x0 move from minus 10, okay, you see there, to 10. Okay, so this is a good value, a good interval. So we want to display the curve, the cosinus curve on this interval. So we have to compute the ordinate, of course. This is what is done with this script. So this script, y0, we receive as input value x0. Okay, we receive y0 as input. And what is doing this script? Nothing very fantastic. It just compute the cosine of the x. Okay? Then on the figure. So then we ask for the position of the m0 point, the coordinate point m0. So to build that kind of point, we use that function. You see this one? A point given or defined by its coordinate. So when I do that, I just need to select this value and this value. So then I don't do it because I can't, actually it's already done. And this will plug the n0 point on the figure. Then to get the curve, I will do something maybe more interesting. I will remove the m0 point. Okay. So this removes a lot of things actually. Yeah, okay. And I will do this so we can see better. Okay? So I want the point defined by x0 and y0. Okay, this is this point. And I move it, okay. Okay, we feel that. Okay? So then now we ask for the curve. Which curve is describing this point when move me is moving? So I want the position. Well, the order is not important. I can select the other point, but it's okay. The engineers will guess. Okay, so give me the curve.
This is not.
So if I want a bigger interval, for example, okay, I want something bigger. I don't want between minus 10 and 10. I want between 30 and 30. Okay, apply. So you see the curve? Is going further. Oops. Oh, I don't have to not on the background. Oh, just 10 and 10. Oh. Apply. Okay. It's useless. So I lost the other thing. Okay, I will go back. This is the infinite and the redo operation. So we were at this point m0. Then now if we want the tangent line, we have to compute the slope at this point. So this is what is done there. Slope m0. So it's just get the coordinate on the sign, minus sign. So this example is not very fancy, because if I change the curve there, I will have to change there. It would be nice if I just change, I always computed y0, it will compute all the tangent, but I don't want to go that further. So maybe, I think it's possible to do that, but we have to work about, okay. Okay, and that's it for the script. So, okay, maybe I will show you the slope, okay. So there we just compute the slope, so we take x0 as input parameters and it's compute the the minus sign, okay? So the derived function of cosine. Then we have to compute the position of this point, M1, and a point on the line, on the tangent line, then after we can draw it. So x1, okay. So x1 expect x0 as, hold on, the battery is low. So the coordinate of the of this point is just plus one plus two, okay, plus two. Okay. Then to compute the ordinate, we have to use the slope. So this means that the y1 script is a big is expected a little more input parameters. So you expect the point M0, the slope at M0 on the X1. Then, okay, you compute the ordinate. Just, okay, just line, just normal equation, okay. Okay. So, what is the roadmap of the project? So what we want to do, is a user-friendly interactive geometry software. Actually, I don't know if GuideScript is very friendly, but it's kind of advanced feature that can be used by teachers that are advanced, that they want to do some special things, that they can do that for the student. And also, the other thing we are very cautious is about the human factor criteria, or the ergonomy of the software. Also, the other point is the reference manual, where we try to document everything. The manual is written, so it can be printed or it can be used online. We want to have this manual in several languages. So actually, I started to write the manual in English first because I was thinking it's the best way to get the manual available to a lot of people, so these people they can take it and translate it in their own language. But actually, I don't get so much feedback about that. So I think, okay, I will stop to write a manual in English because when I wrote it in English, it's very poor, actually, because I'm not a native English speaker. So I think this may give a very bad image, actually, to get a manual written in English with a lot of spelling, grammar error. So I think, okay, I will write it first in French. It will be good because I know I can do it good in French. Then I would try to find some people that can translate it in English. So actually we are at the stage, I'm in talk with various people that may do that job. And I think this is the right way to do the things, especially in the education. Because if you show the software to the educators, to the people who decide about the software to use, and when they look at the manual, they see it's full of spelling error, they will have a very bad image about the things. Because it's about education and it's really matter. Then the last point is activities corpus. The idea is to have a lot of documents related to Dog Genius, and this document will be used to promote the software to the teacher. It's not just okay, the software can do that, but it's also, you see, you can do that activities, you can do these special activities you can use in your classroom. So this is more about pedagogical contents and the way to use the software. And the teacher, they will be very sensible to these things because this is what matters. It's DGS macro. So it's to get macro construction, but written in scheme. It's a bit special. The other thing is geometric proof system. Another thing that can be written in Scheme as well, because Scheme can be used for that thing, or at least more generally, to make some proof, verification and proof. And we can use that things to provide some help in the proof process. So we go. This is a step further, not only the figure, but also toward the proof. This is a big thing also. Another thing cool to have is a scheme console. Typically you have a session and you can type in scheme command, for example, okay, move point A1 to position, tac tac, and you can do that in real time. This is something not so difficult to do. The last thing is to define alternative safe format in scheme. Actually, this is XML, but XML is not very good thing. Scheme will be better, because if you save a figure in scheme, this means that you can define a Doug Genius figure as a procedure. For example, you can imagine a file where there is a file, a figure, and in you say that, okay, a loop, you can have a loop in scheme, and you say, okay, in this loop you just compute the position of the point. So the process, the figure is constructed and defined totally when you just load the figure in Doug Genius through a procedure. So it's quite close to logo, the idea of logo. It's in between. Then the next thing where we need help is GNOME developers, I think, because GNOME is a moving target. So sometimes we really spend energy to get to the level of GNOME, to implement the new feature or to change to the last version, because the API has been changed, so we have to change inside Doug Genius. This is not something very funny to do, because there is no new to do that, but we have to do, so we need that. So if you want to join, okay, this is the address. Okay, I think we don't have time left, do we have?
Prolonged? By 10 minutes if you want.
10 minutes, okay. One. Maybe you have questions, I think it's better.
If you want
the time, you can have. Yeah, maybe for question if there is any. Okay, so. You mean automatically?
Yes.
I think we can, if it's not yet possible, we can add a feature in the script to do that, I think. So if you have a very clear idea of what you want, maybe you can email to us, or we can see very, automatically, just moving. Yeah, and you want it to happen automatically?
Yes, for example, the circle that moves, the point that moves over the circle automatically.
Yeah. So there is another thing we want to do is to associate buttons on the figure with the guide script. So when you push the button, it activates a button. It activates a script. So for the temporization, I think we can think about something. We need to develop some more things to have that thing.
In geometry, you have all kinds of definitions and lines and special mathematical objects that have certain definitions. I assume in your help file, there's no definition, mathematical definition of an Euler line. But for example, in Wikipedia, there can be such a definition of such mathematical. There is even a mathematical free encyclopedia called Math Planet or Planet Math.
Mm-hmm.
And so I propose as a feature that if you have some kind of term in your program that you can link to the definition in the field.
So it can be on the online documentation, maybe. Can it be? Because the online documentation, okay. So you have You have the documentation there. So this is the French manual, actually. So maybe it can be something there, for example. Okay. But also the you have the documentation through various parts of. Okay, now I have to, for example. No, it's not, I'm wrong. So there, for example, okay. You have, okay. It will call the help browser. Then it displays the local documentation. So about this time, okay, this explain what is it about. It is static information, is it that?
Kind of. But also for every mathematical term,
there is a definition.
There is a definition in the encyclopedia, but you could create a library of all those definitions.
For local use or no?
I assume here you don't have a library of all known.
There is not at all.
What?
There is not at all any definition. I mean, there is no definition at all.
Yes,
so yes, we don't have any.
But for example, if a teacher uses his program and he has put a graphic of some kind of
you want the definition somewhere
that he could add it to a library that other teachers
can okay.
use the library because now you have to recreate it by yourself.
Okay, I know what you mean. Okay, I get the picture.
Can be geometric, or what can be done, for example, in Mathematica, or
Math? Well, it's nothing to do with Mathematica, I think. It's more close to Capri geometric. I think Capri geometric is much advanced. Okay. Well, I don't use Capri geometric for... I use it once, so I don't know it very well, but from what I remember, there is some feature there is in Capri geometric, there is no... in Dark Genius. But the reverse is also true, actually, with the Dark Genius script.
Are you planning to move further, like three-dimensional?
Well, expect this one.
more analytical definitions of objects?
For 3D geometry. What you mean?
Yes, 3D geometry, or of objects analytically, like curves.
You can have parameters curve actually with script. I should write some example about that. But you can do parameters definition. But it's not an easy way to do that because there is you don't have the object parameters curves and you compute the function. Then okay, that's it. You have to do a little more. Yeah, maybe yes. Well, probably, but it will take time. yeah. But there is more interesting things to do. But yeah, it will be nice. Why not?
You said something about leaving the proofs to proving the trigonometric theorems on paper and not using software.
The proof.
Yes.
Yeah, the software is not to. It can help in the proof, but it doesn't mean. Yeah, you have to be very cautious. It's not because you see this is true in all situations that you have proved that. Well, this is the position in regard to the students. I mean, because it's so. Because you get such a strong feeling that something is always true that you may think it's not necessary to make a proof. But we still have to make the proof. Which is what
from a learning, purely learning standpoint, for a kid who doesn't know anything about trigonometry, writing out Pythagoras, for example, and then showing how it works and how
Yeah, it can. It can help. Yeah, it can help. If the teacher wants to make a demonstration of some properties, or yeah, it can be used that way. But there is no proof behind anyway.
But would you not encouraging that type of use?
Yes. No, it's not a problem. But it's very important that the kids understand that even if they feel something very strongly is true, they have to prove it to be sure it's always true. Just is it about teaching? It's about consideration about the way of teaching. Yeah, so.